My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday to welcome you back in. 7 o'clock hour underway. D'Amico Ryans, what are you looking for in the final preseason game on Saturday against the Rams?
This last preseason game, really looking forward to the guys who get the reps, seeing them grow and improve. Right now, it's that, you know, like that final exam. Right, we've been going for about a month here in training camp, and all of the coaching points and all the tips we've been giving guys, like, can you go out and pass this final exam? Like, how much have you grown? How much have you learned? And can you showcase that right on the big stage?
Okay, so that was D'Amico. He kind of joked. I think it was Will Kunkel asked him at the end of practice, is CJ going to play? And
yeah.
And even
I didn't turn my mic on. Damn it.
Even D'Amico couldn't fake that.
Oh yeah, we can play that clip in a little bit. It's actually a fun little moment.
Yeah,
his outros are good actually at press conferences. He kind of zooms off the stage sometimes.
Yeah.
No, he said, "What do you think?"
Right, what do you think? Right,
yeah, I don't think CJ's going to play.
No, I don't think so either.
Now, unless if they want to see the offensive line get some of their timing, some of their cohesion working, then you know, maybe they would. I could see
CJ
lobbying.
Do it with Davis Mills.
Well, I could see CJ lobbying to play.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I don't know if they would allow it or not.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting one because if he's going to want to be out there, if the offensive line is going to be out there, he's going to want to be a team player and all of that. I think the offensive line could really use it without even pointing to one individual or anything specifically. They just they're not moving the way. If you look at a team like the Rams when they're running the ball well, or the 49ers when they're running the ball well, their offensive line are just in lockstep. It looks like choreography, and that's not what the Texans' offensive line is right now.
No.
And that's something that just, you need time working together, you know?
Yes.
Like when you and I, when we try to bring a new member into our band, and, you know, we're like, all
it's
right.
It's clunky at first.
Like, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yep, reps.
I remember we kicked Steve Van Sant out because we're like, dude, what the hell?
Whatever happened to that guy?
You can't just walk in here and think that you're, you know, it's a different band.
Whatever happened to him? Here was the exchange that Seth was talking about. It was Will Kunkel who asked D'Amico if CJ was going to play.
Last one, CJ going to play Saturday?
Say it again?
CJ play Saturday?
Whatever you think. What do you think? All right. I'm out.
It was better with the visual because he almost had like a Jimmy Ward type sly smile on his face.
Yeah. I don't think he plays.
I don't think he plays. Yeah. I don't think any of the starters play.
Okay, so now this is a good segue.
Yeah.
Here's the question. This is the biggest question going into this game.
Yeah.
What happens with Damian Pierce tomorrow? Because I think the range for Damian Pierce tomorrow ranges from he does not play, he is a made guy.
Right.
It's the offensive line's fault that he's not getting going, which I don't believe to be true.
Which is, that's what D'Amico cited the other day.
Said it two days ago that it's just he's not getting the opportunities. There's defenders there when he hits the hole. It's just a lot of stuff going on. So I think the range is that Damian Pierce is in street clothes and he's ready for week one to what it should be, which is Damian Pierce plays and gets several touches to really get a good read on whether or not he belongs in this system.
I think there's one of two things. One is he plays, and I don't think it's as diagnostic as much at this point as it would be perhaps putting him out there with a very limited game plan and just telling them, hey, just go. You know, like, just go. Don't, we'll just simplify it as much as possible on a bunch of gap scheme type stuff, powers and pin and pulls or whatever.
Would that be showcasing him?
Yeah. I think that, I honestly feel that he's not grasping right now this system. And I think he would be better in another style system. And because you can't go into the regular season and have a running back where the defense knows, like, oh, they've got a limited playbook here with this guy, so we know what we're going to see. His superpower is breaking tackles. Now, this is the other part of it. Other teams are going to look at Dameon Pierce, and they're going to say, okay, we understand that it's a scheme mismatch, but he used to break tackles.
Yeah.
He hasn't broken tackles in 2 years, really. No. What's going on there? My personal feeling is that he just needs to get back up to his rookie playing weight. I think whatever quickness he gained has not been enough to make him a genuinely quick NFL running back, and yet he's lost that power that he used to have.
Yeah.
He needs to get back up to his rookie playing weight and get in a scheme that he's more comfortable in.
He needs a personal chef who brings junk food to him.
Yeah.
He needs
a
personal chef, but all they make are quesadillas and cheeseburgers. They bring a Sunday bar over there.
Honestly, though, I know you're joking, but I think that there is an avenue by which he could be better than he was in 2022, which is get back up to that weight, but be a more polished version of that body weight.
Sure.
Like a leaner version of that weight.
Yeah.
But that's just, man, like anybody who's played football out there knows, like just from high school football, there's things, sometimes you gain weight and you can just feel, even if your bench press hasn't gone up all that much or whatever, that extra ballast, that extra junk in your trunk, it just makes you stronger on the football field. It's not just the weight room strength, it's the actual just force equals mass times acceleration. Your body weight makes a big, the mass part of that, it makes a difference, and I think he needs that mass.
Think he plays tomorrow?
I
think he plays.
I think he plays, and I think they try to get some out. And the other part of this, too, is, like, if the starting offensive line did play, all right, some of these other guys, like British Brooks or Juwan Jordan or whomever else, J.J. Taylor, I feel like they deserve I want to see what they do behind the starting offensive line.
100% with you on this. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So, because maybe, okay, let's say theoretically, yeah, they've had some nice runs, but it was against second and third stringers, where, all right, maybe Dameon can do the same thing. Then you got a little bit more of a level playing field, but that's one of the annoying things that comes in when you're talking about Dameon Pierce is, yes, the blocking hasn't been good, but that doesn't mean that I'm excusing the old Dameon Pierce. It doesn't matter that there's an unblocked guy. He would have broken at least one tackle.
Right.
Break one tackle at some point this preseason.
Yep. All right, so I think that to me is the most intriguing storyline for tomorrow is what happens with Dameon Pierce. Does he play? Does he not play? If he plays, what does it look like? That's number one. Number two, how does this wide receiver room shake out? This might be the deepest position group.
But
the deepest one that I've covered since I've been covering the Texans. Like, this is a really good wide receiver room. Before we get thoughts on it here, here's D'Amico Ryans yesterday. Xavier Hutchinson and Robert Woods both had good days yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They are two of the guys that are kind of fighting for their lives right now in this receiver room.
Hutchinson and Rob Woods, they've been making plays all camp. And it's the same today, guys. They've been consistent and made plays all throughout camp. There's two guys you can count on, Hutch and Woods. They've been making plays, so no surprises that they made plays today for us.
Honestly, I'll look at the 11 guys right now. I won't name all of them, but the few guys are definitely going to make the team. I mean, like, who would you not want on the team? Let's look at it through that filter.
Okay.
Who would you not want on the team? Robert Woods, Noah Brown.
Yeah, I like him.
John Metchie.
Yep.
Xavier Hutchinson.
Yeah, he's good.
Steven Sims.
Good return guy, yeah.
Ben Skoranek.
I like Skoranek.
Quintez Cephas.
Cephas has done some things.
Johnny Johnson III.
Johnny Johnson's done a few things.
He's flashed. Like, those last two, I get, that's, you're not going to shed a tear or anything.
Dude.
Quintez Cephas has had some highlight moments.
Yeah.
And it's just.
Lestar Jean made this team back in the day on a good Texans team. You know what I mean? Like, in
normal circumstances,
yeah.
If I find out that, like, oh, like, Johnny Johnson made the team, like, all right, yeah.
As your fifth or sixth wide receiver, in past iterations of the Houston Texans, Johnny Johnson and or Quintez Cephas are probably on the team as a fifth or sixth wide receiver.
The hardest thing about trading some of these guys is that the the Texans have created like a micro buyer's market. You know, like because the Texans have so many guys that they might think about trading away that teams are like
competing with themselves.
Other teams are like, you can't possibly trade all of them. We're just going to wait and see which one of these guys hit waivers and we'll pick that guy up. So I do think that. I predict there will be at least one transaction amongst the wide receivers where a guy is announced that he's getting cut, and then all of a sudden you find out the old six-round swap.
The old T.J. Yates, Akeem Dent
Or
trade.
Joe Mixon. Remember, it was announced that Joe Mixon was getting released, and then the Texans.
Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
Carlos Hyde for Martinez Rankins back in the day.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
Yeah, Martinez Rankins.
That was actually a good trade by Bill O'Brien, actually. Yeah. They were going to cut Martinez Rankins. They end up getting a 1,000-yard rusher out of it. So how does a wide receiver room shake out? To me, the biggest question mark is how are they viewing Noah Brown, who hasn't practiced in like 3 weeks, but when he was practicing, was viewed as a lock to make the team. So there's that. How do the quarterbacks get used? We kind of touched on that with debating whether or not CJ would play in this game. Does Davis Mills play in the game? Like, I could see this being give half to Keenum and half to Boyle, and this is our third string battle going on. Because Nick was pretty adamant that Davis Mills is the backup quarterback. I know about last year, and they put Keenum in the week 15 and whatnot. But Davis Mills is on this team as the backup quarterback.
I think if they stick the starting offensive line out there with the instructions like, just look better. Just figure it out, damn it. Yeah. This is a final dress rehearsal.
That's what you would tell them.
Yeah. It feels like a Broadway show where everything's all a mess, but then everything comes together on opening night.
It's magic.
You know how much you and I are big show tune fans.
Huge.
And they got to figure it out. This is a final dress rehearsal. Yeah. You got to look better than you've been looking, and you haven't all sang the big closing number together yet. We want to see that. I almost feel like if the starters go out there on the offensive line, then just go ahead and put Davis Mills out there.
Yes, I agree.
And, you know, just get the operation flowing for a couple series, hopefully.
Yeah.
But I would, the most likely scenario is that Case Keenum gets the first half and Boyle gets the second
half. That's what I would predict, too.
Yeah.
I would predict that. And there's part of me with the run game, I'm like, okay, if they run the ball well tomorrow afternoon, but it's not with the first string offensive line out there, do I even get excited about this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like... Great, they ran it with a bunch of guys going against the Rams twos and threes. It's all a bunch of guys who aren't. All I care about, like at this point, is what does the final roster look like, and what does Week One against the Colts look like?
I think like the thing about Joe Mixon is that it's noticeable the difference when he's out there. There's not another running back in that room that's built and moves the way he does, and. Some of the blocking, I'm not as distraught over the bad run blocking by the offensive line right this moment, just because Joe Mixon is the guy that does what you should do when you're a good back, is that he can turn nothing into something, you know, and that's so you can have, especially if they're facing light boxes because of all the receiving talent on the field, it's not going to be a decrepit run game to begin with. But my standard for this squad is they have the physical potential to be elite. And if you want to be elite, you got to figure out that little detail of blocking.
Yes.
So that's why I'm not panicking about the run game. I don't want it to be something that's a work in progress the whole first half of the season.
Yeah. Next question. So we've got, we talked about Pierce, the wide receiver room, quarterbacks, running game. Allie Gay is interesting.
Yeah.
Can Allie Gay Duke Ejiofor his way onto this team?
I think the thing about Allie Gay is he has upside as a pass rusher. And you can see it, like there's a little kernel there. He's got these really long arms, and over the last couple of years, he's learned how to use them. You know, when he came out of LSU, he looked almost, in a lot of ways, he was almost like a colt, like a baby horse. You know, like it's just they're all limbs, but they're not quite coordinated, but they can gallop around and
everything.
You look
and you go, they're going to be something someday.
Yeah. And I feel like he's kind of grown into his gelding body. Well, no, gelding wouldn't be the right one. He's grown into a full grown horse. I think they probably like him against the run, and that he's developing as a pass rusher. And I think that he's been getting so many reps just because they want to keep seeing him develop. So I don't know if they would. I don't know if they could expect him to clear waivers.
And maybe this Denico Autry suspension gives you sort of an extra defensive end spot, at least early on, to keep him. He's number 90 if you're going to the game tomorrow. He stands
it's hard
out.
To miss.
He stands out.
He's
tall. He stands out, and he has been getting a good long look from this coaching staff and front office. He played 33 snaps against the Steelers, and he played a team-high 43 snaps against the Giants.
You know, he almost looks like a That's who I keep thinking of when outside. It's almost like Mario Williams in a way, like a skinnier Mario Williams. He's not as athletic as Mario, but
like
he's just
Mario when he arrived at NC State kind of thing.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, probably,
you know?
Yeah.
A little gangly.
He's not as he's just not as bulked up as Mario was. He's not a freak of nature, but he takes up a lot of space, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes long arms. There's no accounting for geometry sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like geometry matters, and sometimes those long guys are just a pain in the ass because they screw up the angles for the offense.
Last one. I'm really curious what this team's plans are, the Texans, in the return game. They've been trotting so many guys out there at practice to return kicks, and it matters for the final composition of the roster because if you list the likely candidates to be the returners, Steven Sims, well, he's a bubble guy at wide receiver. Desmond King returns punts sometimes. He's a bubble guy at cornerback.
Yeah.
Damian Pierce returns kicks sometimes. Could that be their excuse to keep Damian Pierce on the team? Is like, well, we need him to return kicks. I'm spitballing everything because it feels like they're spitballing now.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the kickoff return with Damian, because then the kickoff return he had in the game last week,
hideous.
It just he looked like he was thinking his way through everything, instead of just letting it rip.
Yeah, yep.
We need to get this kickoff return out. Like, I watch these NFL on the NFL YouTube channel. They put out like 10-minute long highlight reels, and they'll throw like every kickoff return in there. And it, like ones that go to the 31, like, I get it. It's new. It's not a highlight for me.
They're marketing it to you.
That's a hell of a way to market.
Take a look.
It's like if Bayway was like, here's a window blown out. Here's a car we don't think we'll ever sell.
Fender hanging off. Yeah. We got our first taste of Laramie Tunsil at the podium yesterday. He was pretty brief. Most of his answers, but there were some good ones in here. This was interesting. His very first thing he did, he thanked Nick and D'Amico for allowing him to have this plan to come back from his knee surgery.
First and foremost, I want to say thank you to D'Amico and Nick Caserio for just taking care of me. Coming off off-season surgery with my knee, got that cleaned up and rolled with the plan that the Texans gave me, so I appreciate it so much.
All right. Remember this the next time the tackle market gets reset by somebody and you're putting those side-eye emojis out there looking for your $30 million a year, man.
You know what the Texans did? They gave him a protocol. They did what the Rockets wouldn't do for Royce White. Right. Mostly because Royce White wouldn't help them give them a protocol at all. This is the Royce White situation was, I need a protocol.
Yeah.
And the Rockets would say, well, like, we're trying to give.
Right.
He won't talk to us.
You're right.
The first step in communication is actually communicating.
This is protocol gone well right here.
Yeah, good protocol.
Good job, Nick and D'Amico.
You guys could have beat Steph Curry.
Yeah.
With Royce White as your champion.
How do you think Tunsil looks?
I think he looks like he's still working his way into form.
Okay.
You know? But there's, just like it is with Joe Mixon, there's a marked difference in how the offense looks when Laramie Tunsil is out there.
Yeah.
And I would include Kenyon Green in that, because in this offense, when executed properly, no can defend. But you gotta execute it properly.
Yep.
And it helps to have a veteran next to him. So, yeah, Laramie Tunsil is much, he's an incredible pass protector. He's not anything to brag about as a run blocker, but he is integrated into the system and he knows what he's doing and he does a good job of it. He's just super athletic. It makes it easier for a guy like Kenyon Green to know when to pass off his block, to go up, to climb up to a linebacker, etc., when you got a guy like Laramie Tunsil. So there's a additive effect there. He's a force multiplier.
He's a force,
Sean.
Multiplier? Okay,
yes.
I like that.
Not like a Daniel Jones force multiplier, factor of zero. He actually gives you a positive number at the end of the day.
Got some more Daniel Jones stuff coming up here in a little.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A little bit. Payne and Pendergast with you. We got some Anthony Richardson conjecture coming up as well here shortly. A little bit more from Tunsil. Let's play Guess the Answer.
Okay.
He was asked about Blake Fisher. What do you think he thinks about Blake
Fisher?
He thinks
he's a dog.
Let's hear what he thinks about Blake Fisher.
Dog. He's a dog, man. He's a dog. I like Blake. He works hard. He studies hard. And he gets it done, man. So I like Blake a lot.
Yep. Dog.
I think he might actually be a dog, Blake Fisher.
I think he is at heart. Yeah. He's just not
like Justin Britt when Laramie called him a dog.
Hey. Well, I think Justin Britt was a dog. We couldn't find him. He left here. Justin Britt's off running down the road with a chain still on, carrying the doghouse behind him. You know, like, he's that kind of dog. He's got a lot of spirit, but we don't know where he is.
Where the hell did he go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Blake Fisher, though. Actual dog?
Not yet, but he can be. He's got the potential. Yeah. Laramie calls everybody a dog. He called Davis Mills a dog.
Called David Johnson a dog.
Called David Johnson a dog. It loses its effect after a while.
Credibility. Yeah.
Like when you tell your wife she's pretty, like after a while she's like, yeah, whatever. All right. You know, it's just, you say that all the time.
Yeah, but you mean it.
Right. Yeah. But it wears over
but,
time.
But calling Johnson and Davis Mills is like calling some hideous chick pretty.
That's true. That's what it's like. It's like you're telling your wife she's pretty, but then also like ogling,
It's like the Seinfeld episode where that doctor called everybody breathtaking.
Yeah.
Elaine's like, ooh, I'm breathtaking. And then he calls the ugly baby breathtaking.
You're like, boy, hey, honey, you're so, Randy, every day I just look at you and I think you're so beautiful. And then we're watching Blossom, and I'm like, oh, Blossom, wow. Boy, we should set her up with my nephew.
What
wow.
The hell? Yeah. Everybody's a dog.
We watch a lot of Blossom.
Do you? One more from Laramie Tunsil. Apparently, this is how you try to get under Laramie's skin. Social media rankings of different positions or position groups.
Yeah.
He wasn't really taking the bait yesterday.
Who is this, PFS? Who was the rankings? PFS? I don't know. I don't want to say too much on that, but it's whatever. We just got to go out there and work hard and get it done.
Yeah, I think I'm guessing whoever asked the question, and I apologize to whoever did. I couldn't tell. I'm guessing it was those rankings that you and I kind of went through the other day by ESPN, where they ranked all the position groups 1 through 32, and the Texans' offensive line was 28 in the league. I'm guessing that's what it was, probably, but it doesn't sound like Laramie's seen it, which I think is good.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't know. And those guys, I think somebody, one of the offensive linemen tweeted out a side eye emoji or something on one of those rankings.
About that?
I don't like seeing, this is where I'm a grumpy old man sometimes. I don't like the offensive line being involved in the media at all.
Yeah.
I like the old Denver Broncos. They would get fined if they even did an interview. They were, back when they were in their Super Bowl days, they were just steadfastly like, no.
Sounds like a fun work environment.
Well, it is. You're supposed to be the dirty, down and dirty, blue collar
dudes. So is it just O-line for you when it comes to that?
Yeah, it's just O-line.
Just O-line.
I want them to be fat, stank, just want to go out and run blocks.
That's not this group.
No.
This group's got like Gucci handbags.
Yeah.
Closets full of Jordans.
But they're dogs. They're all dogs.
But they're dogs.
Every single one of them.
But they're dogs. The side eye emoji to the rankings. Where are you on players retweeting their own highlights?
I that's the age we live in. That's what you do. You got to promote the brand, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Who did it?
Oh, Stingley does it sometimes. I mean, I think guys, do it fairly regularly.
Stingley doesn't run his social media account. Or at least not his Twitter. He's not on Twitter at all. He says like he has somebody run that for him because he sees how much negativity there is.
So is it okay if someone's doing it for them on their social media?
Oh, 100%
media?
Then, okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
No, it's okay for any of them to do it. I'm cool with it. It's not... it's just the culture.
Doesn't sound
changed.
Like it's okay.
I'm not going to criticize it because it's just commonplace. Yeah. I would prefer that they didn't, but it's just that's what the world is now. I don't look at a guy that does it and be like, I don't know about that. How's that going to play in the locker room?
Yeah. It plays fine in these locker rooms these days. We're getting some react to Anthony Richardson talking about him in headlines. Anthony Richardson only does short passes. We're not worried about this bum. I don't know why bum is such a funny word to me. Middle Screen points out, Coach Middle Screen, loyal listener, points out, and you watched all of Anthony Richardson. I didn't get to see Anthony Richardson play last night, but apparently in addition to the pick six, there was a strip sack fumble, which the Colts fell on, which if Cincinnati falls on that, then that's maybe a much different narrative today than just, it's a pick six.
Yeah, were people excusing the pick six? Or
No, I'm just saying, like, people like me who didn't see the game.
Yeah.
If I saw, well, it's a pick six. Okay, well, that's one play. What else did he do? Have I seen that he also lost fumble?
I didn't know what the narrative was because I wasn't impressed at all with him. This is the thing. Yeah, on these short passes over the middle where you have Alec Pierce going against undrafted rookie free agents and everything. Yeah, he looked really good. Like, this is the beautiful intoxicant that Anthony Richardson is. On his good plays, he looks unbelievable.
Like an alien.
The velocity, the seeming touch on the good plays, it's crazy. And it's hard not to be intoxicated by that. But then on his bad plays, he looks completely inept. And then his arm is so strong that he has some of the worst footwork and fundamentals of any starting quarterback you've ever seen, but he gets away with it a lot of the time until he doesn't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, it gives me agita because I think about that's the kind of guy that can be on a 6-11 team, except on any given Sunday, he's when his mistakes don't come to roost, he destroys
two
you.
Two of the six are against your team.
He just absolutely destroys you. And especially when you factor in the RPOs, like when they factor in the run game, if they start off the season running him 15 to 20 times a game or something, I think they're going to be like a lawnmower through their schedule.
They're going to do that in week one against the Texans.
He will get hurt, though. Like 100%, he will if they choose to do that.
Yep.
So it's fascinating. I think long term, I'm not worried about it unless he figures out a way to clean all this stuff up. He's got this sidearm delivery, which, like, it's impressive, but it's not like he's doing it when he needs to do it. It's every down.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's for him, the changeup is when he has to throw over the top. So I'm fascinated by like how's it going to play out over time when he's dealing in compressed pockets and everything. I think it's going to be a train wreck long term. But just like Vince Young in his rookie year, like, man, there's still, until the book is written on him, you don't know exactly how to attack the guy. It could be ugly in the short, ugly for opponents in the short term.
Yeah. The strip sack, my point was it would have been like two turnovers instead of one, and he would have lost it two different ways. So I'm guessing that would have like found its way into more headlines and, you know, kind of gotten into people's brains a little bit.
No, he's got so many throws because we saw this last year where like, he'll make some really nice throws and people are like, thought he wasn't accurate.
Right.
Like, it's like nobody thought he was going to go out and complete 20% of his passes.
Orlovsky did that. I'm like, Dan, you're a smart guy.
No, he's capable of making some immaculate deep ball throws. Yeah. It's how consistently can you do it?
Okay.
People used to do it with Tebow.
Yeah.
Because Tebow would throw a nice post or something or a drag, and you're like, thought he couldn't throw.
Yep.
We're like, no, he can't do that all the time. That's the problem.
Here was Kirk Herbstreit last night on the broadcast. So Amazon had the game last night. So it was Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. And if you're trying to get a gauge for where Anthony Richardson is right now, and again, this is who the Texans are going against 2 weeks from Sunday. So this is relevant to the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Now, I think what Kirk Herbstreit is bringing up doesn't affect week one. Anthony Richardson, barring injury, will be the starter. But the fact that Anthony Richardson is getting brought up in this conversation you're about to hear, I think is emblematic and indicative of where he is right now as a quarterback, probably. Herb Street brings up the possibility of a QB controversy with Richardson and Joe Flacco.
Yeah. Let me ask you something here. If you're Shane Steichen, best case scenario, Anthony Richardson, he lives up to what we all hope he can do. Running, throwing, he's healthy, his team has a great year, and he's a superstar, right? What if he struggles? What if he has a good drive or a good game and then a bad game, a good game and a bad game? He's a pick. Everybody's kind of expecting him to be the guy. You got a guy like Joe Flacco with the roster they have. I just wonder how you handle that if it goes down that path if you're Shane Steichen, because you know what you're going to get in Joe Flacco.
Oh! 2023
Flacco. Really? Know what you're going to get with Joe. That was honestly, I feel like that was the least criticized thing. Nobody brought that part up because they're talking about everybody was roasting Herb Street because of the concept of them benching their high draft pick QB and everything, who is the future, was more they were roasting him for that. No, you don't know what you have in Joe Flacco. They
watched the playoffs.
Yeah, that was the Joe Flacco I've seen
as
of late.
He came to know and love.
I don't think Herb Street should have gotten roasted as hard as he did. I think his problem was in the way he set it up. He said, "Has a good game, has a bad game, has a good game, has a bad." Well, yeah,
they're gonna play through that.
The scenario you got to ask about is like Bryce Young last year, where he mysteriously sat out a couple of games for a minor injury that might not have even been an injury, where maybe he just needed to clear his head. It would have to be a sustained stretch of ineptitude.
Yes.
And which is in the cards. So I'm I don't think Herb Street was as off the mark, but I think it was the way he set it up. Like, no, if he has some really good games and some really bad games, he's just going
to
keep on playing.
They'll play through it and they'll try to go 9-8. Yeah. You know, that's what they'll do.
And more egregiously, no, you don't know what you have with Joe Flacco.
Right.
You just flat out don't know.
Right. Yeah. Those five games at the end of the year for Flacco got in Herb Street's head there. The other quarterback that's getting roasted hard this week, Daniel Jones. And I feel like the Texans have a lot to do with this. I feel like you can thank Derek Barnett for forcing that pick six to Petrie and Derek Stingley Jr. for making a great grab on an interception, because those two picks against the Texans starters, when Daniel Jones went 2 for 6 for like 18 yards, two picks and another should have been pick six to Stingley, that set, I don't even call it a narrative, this may be actuality, that Daniel Jones just stinks. Sauce Gardner, the Jets and the Giants have been practicing together this week. The pauses that you're going to hear, and I didn't ask you to take the pauses out of this because they're relevant. Sauce Gardner was asked, what do you think of Daniel Jones? And these pauses, like Sauce Gardner is clearly thinking, like, what do I say about this guy who is not very good at football?
What was your opinion or your takeaway on Daniel Jones?
He's a good quarterback. You feel me? Thought I was about to pick him off today. I had a little cloud rep. You know, he had looked at the last minute to try to throw the check down to Wandale. You know, I thought I had a pick, but he kept it.
Can't figure out what to say.
The competitive periods, it was very competitive, man. It was great. Like, I had fun out there today, you know. I don't really know what to say.
Like, yeah.
He said afterwards that he had just gotten distracted by something.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good excuse.
I wonder if he got distracted by a funny joke he was going to make about Daniel Jones, and then he put on the brakes a little bit. You know, we go through this sometimes when there's a, gosh, I've got a really good joke I want to make, but I also enjoy not getting canceled.
Well, yeah.
And I kind of...
Sauce Gardner's not governed by the FCC.
When I stop mid-sentence and I'm like,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I think
about.
He had a good Daniel Jones roast ready to go.
Use it.
The whole thing is
Gardner getting tame now.
There are people trying to downplay it. Say he's like, yeah, whatever. You didn't actually say anything. You can't assume you knew what he was going to say. But did you watch that Daniel Jones performance? Daniel Jones is.
He sucks.
I don't even know what they're waiting for him to become.
Right.
I don't know what are they trying to reclaim or see, because he hasn't really shown it.
Even the best version of him in 2022 wasn't all that great.
Right.
They paid it like it was.
Yeah.
The team was decent. But even
they
he
were
in
decent
that
for a half season,
right?
They sputtered down the stretch.
They
had a nice performance against the Vikings in the playoffs.
Right?
People thought that, oh, okay, this is the real Daniel.
Yeah,
Jones.
That's where you got to be careful what you wish for. It's a little like Jose Abreu in the September and October that he had last year.
Yeah,
because if all of a sudden you get duped into thinking that something that is actually bad,
yeah.
If you get duped just by a brief sample that it's good. You can delude yourself, and that's what the Giants did when they gave Daniel Jones $160 million.
Can I briefly remind you that in that 2022 season in which they felt like, okay, yeah, there's something here.
Right. They paid him for this.
Yeah, guess how many yards he threw for? I don't usually like passing yardage.
I'm going to say 3,200.
Yeah, it was 3,200. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was 3,200. Yeah.
On the nose?
Yeah, 3,205. Loser.
Dude, so, that would win both showcases on Price is Right.
15
dude.
Touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 3,200 yards passing. That was...
15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and 3,200 yards tells me they just didn't use him.
They were awesome in 1993,
right.
Sean. That was like, man, you could go in there and like, who was this, Boomer Esiason?
No, I remember back
wow.
when I was a kid watching the Air Coryell teams with Dan Fouts.
Yeah.
When the only two quarterbacks to throw for 4,000 yards in league history were Joe Namath and Dan Fouts.
Sean, that 3,205 yards was his career high watermark.
Of course it was.
My God.
Oh, dude. Giants fans just have to be, oh my God. They paid him. And they gave him $160 million. You couldn't find somebody to do that?
No.
Instead of Daniel Jones?
Not in 1993, Sean. It was really hard.
It was really hard in 1993.
No, Sean, you want to win the NFC East in 1993. You know, you're going up against what? Oh, the Giants. Yeah. But
back then, a lot of people weighing in on what they think is going to happen with the Texans roster. Do you guys think Cam Akers plays tomorrow? Any chance? Okay. Now, this would be something. Any chance Akers is in street clothes and DP plays?
I don't think that would be that notable. Yeah, like Damian Pierce needs to prove himself.
But Cam Akers being treated like a starter and Pierce playing would be noteworthy.
The other dynamic with Cam Akers is that he is, you got to remember, coming off his second Achilles tendon tear.
Maybe.
So if like maybe they've seen enough from him and they're like, all right, let's be sure you're good and ready to go.
It would mean he's made the team, though.
Yeah,
Cam
I think
Akers.
He's made the team.
You think he's made the team?
I think he is a much better fit. I don't think that. You know, you can't get fooled by the highlight reel stuff with Cam Akers because there were a lot of times in Minnesota last year when, and he's a smaller guy, he ran into a brick wall at times, but then he does have flashes of power.
Yeah.
So he hasn't been the same guy since his first Achilles tendon tear in 2021. It's just a matter of like, okay, I think they probably feel like we can use him in spells.
Yeah.
And we'll see. We'll see how it all turns out. But he provides something for us right now that the other backs on the roster don't.
I'm with you. He'd be on my 53. Yeah. But him being in street clothes would be like, wow. Okay,
yeah, it wouldn't be notable to me just because of his injury issues.
Yeah, and that's a good point. That's a good point.
You've got enough with him time in a similar system to
yes.
feel like you know what he's got.
The other
young guys you're still trying to figure things out about.
All right, flag football. We got talking about this the other day. Seth's trying to get Tank Dell onto the flag football team in 2028. I'm here for that. After watching some of these highlights,
yeah.
Tank Dell might be one of the only guys that could go from the NFL to this flag football. You're going to hear some audio from a flag football star. And if you haven't heard this yet, stay tuned. Do you agree with what Hoosh Doucette?
I've got a stark disagreement with the midday guys on this.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
All three of them.
Okay. Good. Well, we will get to that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Damn, Ben, you caught me mid-cracker.
Mid-cracker?
Mid-cracker. There we go.
Full-blown cracker your whole life. Nobody's ever looked at you and been like, is he part Puerto Rican? Is that...
Thanks, Antonio Brown.
You're whistling down. You're walking down the street in a top hat, whistling show tunes.
Oh,
I was cracker ass cracker.
It's as cracker as it gets. Oh man, no, I was starving during the break, so I went into Jesse Watts' studio in there and pilfered the rest of her crackers that she had in there.
She's got a lot of crackers.
She's got a lot of crackers.
She's out.
She had surgery, so she's been out for 10 days, so I got a lot of snacks to replace in that studio in there.
How long is she going to be out for?
I don't know.
Okay.
She's getting back pretty soon. Shout out to Jesse Watt. Get well soon.
from your favorite crackers.
From your two favorite crackers, Payne and Pendergast. So this Daryl Doucette, nicknamed Hoosh, he is the face of flag football here in the United States. Flag football's been a topic this week because the story that came out that the NFL is going to try to get some NFL players on this 2028 flag football team that's going to participate in the Olympics.
Right, in four years. Yeah.
And so I've learned a little bit about flag football over the last few days, about the rules. I guess five on five is the international rules.
You thought it was just like the same as 7-on-7.
I did.
And it's just, it's not. Yeah. For one, I mean, the existence of a flag is the big thing. That's my biggest question about it with flag football is obviously the rules are different and everything, but that the two things are, one, body weight doesn't matter at all. So NFL players, there are a lot of guys who, there are a lot of really good flag football players who have all the skill set to be an NFL player, except they're just way too small. Like, so those guys exist. They're out there. And it's not just a guarantee that all these NFL all-pro wide receivers are as quick and athletic and as good a wide receiver in flag football. You got a bunch of little speed demons out there at times.
There's literally no physicality allowed.
Right.
Like, there's no bump at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, like, even 7-on-7, it's one-hand touch. Like, yeah, there's nothing at all.
You can't jam a guy at the line of scrimmage or anything like that. So this Daryl Doucette is the quarterback. He's the quarterback of the U.S. flag football team. And he did an interview with TMZ. And he and I'm assuming other flag football guys maybe feel a little disrespected by this assumption that it's going to be NFL guys all playing in this thing in 2028. He said he wants the NFL guys to have to compete for a spot on the team.
I love the fact that they want to play and that they want to come out and compete. But at the end of the day, we want the same process that we've been having to play. We have to try out. And so do they. You know, I don't want to be like they're entitled because of their names to be able to just automatically be on the team. And that's what it sounds like from the flag football world.
Okay. I get that.
Yeah, I get that. I really get that.
Yep.
Especially when, like, everything we just talked about. It's not the same game. You know, it's like thinking that the best baseball player in the world can go play cricket and be awesome the very first day he plays cricket.
Right.
It's probably, you know, like, it's different. It's different. You're going to, like, so how much time would a guy have to devote, even if he's a world-class, one of the best football players who ever lived, to actually
play a different
get good
sport
at flag football on the same level as some of these other guys, many of whom are just as athletic as NFL players, they're just not as big.
A lot smaller. Yeah. Now, this is what grabbed the headlines, and this is what probably put Doucette in the crosshairs of people like In the Loop, who had a different take on this than you're about to have here. But Doucette said, I'm better than Patrick Mahomes.
Mm. At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he does. You've watched him play, right?
Yeah.
He
would go to the combine and get laughed off the field because he's got a janky release.
You know, and it's. But, like, the biggest thing, and when you watch his highlights, at least, I'm not breaking down film, but the flag element, like, even the elusiveness is completely different because he's, like, going into deep knee bends and then popping up. It's all about keeping the flag away from the defender. So you're not trying to spin out of contact or anything. It's like you're keeping the flag away from the defender. And then on the defense side, there's a lot of hand-eye coordination and reps that you need to get good at snatching that flag off of ridiculously fast athletes.
What was In the Loop treating this guy like he was a joke?
They were acting like, well, maybe, you know, it would take Pat Mahomes about a week to be as good as him in flag football. And I just don't, you know, maybe a more realistic comparison would be an MMA fighter versus a boxer. You know, you take a really good boxer and throw him into MMA, and he's not going to win. I know Conor McGregor wasn't at the height of his power or anything, but you put Conor McGregor against a really good boxer in a boxing match, and it was no contest.
Right.
They extended it out as long as they needed to and did what he did to, you know. But, like, it's just they're similar but different enough that I don't think it's so simple that you could just plop down a bunch of NFL players.
So you're Team Hoosh.
I'm Team Hoosh.
Yeah.
I've been Hoosh a long time.
Hoosh.
About, like, 11 hours now going on.
He probably just needed a PR person to get with him before the interview and say, don't say anything Or maybe he wanted to. Like, he's more people know who this guy is now for him saying, I'm better than Mahomes,
yeah,
than knew who he was a week ago.
I'm just saying, like, NFL, if you're interested in demonstrating your supremacy and everything, like, you might want to sit this one out. Like, it might just might turn into all of a sudden, like, yeah, throw the Eastern Europeans a basketball. Oh, they'll have a good time with it. Oh, yeah.
They do. They do.
How awesome are we now, America?
Oh,
you know?
Yep.
It's funny. I had a friend in college who had been, he was in the Peace Corps before he, for a couple of years. And he was in Eastern Europe, and it was back when they were just discovering basketball in the early 90s. And they loved it, but there was like a hoop in this town, and my friend was like a high school basketball player, not even an all-star basketball player or anything, and he became a legend in that town.
Oh yeah,
because he was making all these circus shots by their estimation.
You mean like, you know, a reverse layup?
Yeah, or a jump shot.
Yeah.
And they've come a bit of a way since then.
They definitely have. Tank would eat at this flag football thing. I think
he has the potential to, but he'd have to. This is the thing. I think they'd have to devote a lot of serious time to.
I don't mean day one.
So I don't want him though. I don't want him working on that. I want him working on being better for the Texans playing American 11-man football.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. I think. I honestly think that football people are overestimating just how dominant they would be in this, which isn't even the same game. This happens, Sean, this happens in militaries all the time. Well, especially back in the day when, like, there was way more nationalistic pride. Like, Americans thought, like, these Japanese, they think they can fly airplanes? And then they're like, in World War II. Hey, what the hell was that?
They can fly airplanes.
They were good, actually, they were really pretty damn good at it.
I don't know, I feel like Tank would get up to speed pretty quick.
But it would take time and energy and effort. Okay, because
I mean,
thing,
like 2 days.
Sean,
like,
I've seen the same thing in rugby. Days. I've seen the same thing in rugby. Ridiculously good athletes get out there and they realize very quickly it's a completely different game.
Yeah.
Aside from the strategy and everything else, there's an endurance element to it that is just way more than what they're accustomed to.
So simple. From the 30 minutes that I've watched of flag football in my life, I feel like my expert opinion is Tank would eat.
I think it's arrogance and hubris that Roger Goodell thinks, like, oh, okay, yeah, of course. Huh. Well, we'll bless them with some of our players. Yes, we'll just go ahead. Here you go. Take some of our finest.
Dude, 5-on-5 is what it is.
Yeah, so there's an endurance element in that, too. There's a lot of space and a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, man.
You know, in the NFL, like, that's where the Patriots did this really well versus the Eagles in the Super Bowl. The Eagles came out and played man, and they were going to play man all game long. So the Patriots were like, all right, we're just going to run crossers after crossers after crossers and just make guys cover all over the field.
You're going to be tired.
And by the second half, they tired the defense out.
Yep. All right, let's head into the 8 o'clock hour here. Texans are not for everybody. The Houston Texans are not for everybody. Everybody was asked about this yesterday.
Yeah, there was some dude out there that was
clearly doing a story on how the Texans are not for everybody, but he got some good stuff, especially from D'Amico Ryans, and probably something Seth can relate to, having been a former Houston Texan, as to why it is so difficult to be a Houston Texan. That is next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction,
Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.